So it's just Marina, Rapsalita. Every morning we say the first Mishnah in Peor. In the Birchas HaShachar, we say, Eilu Dvarim She'odom Ochel Perasein Ba'olam Hazeh V'Akein Keheim She'olam Habah. So one benefits both in this world and in the next world. In fact, though, in the Mishnah in Peor, if you look at the source, it doesn't list them all like the way we say it. It does say Gemilus Chasodim, and it doesn't list things like Achnosos Orchim Bikul Cholim, but the text which we say does include Achnosos Orchim Bikul Cholim. So what the text is in the Siddur amalgamates certain Gemaras, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, together with this Mishnah, to show that these are very important mitzvahs. We've discussed Achnosos Orchim recently, and now we come on to the subject of Bikul Cholim. And we translate Bikul Cholim as visiting the sick, but it's not really a correct translation. Visiting does not encompass everything that one is supposed to do when one does Bikul Cholim. In fact, we say Kvakoras Roe Edro, where the shepherd attends to the sheep of the flock. Kvakoras is to tend to care for, to attend to the needs of. So when you're visiting the sick, you're not simply saying hello and goodbye. You are going to inquire about whether the needs are being attended to, whether this person has the correct medicine, whether you can do any shopping for this person, whether there are any other things that need attending to, and perhaps most important of all, one should say a tefillah. One should daven for the welfare of the sick person. Indeed, the Ramban writes that if you visit a sick person and you do not pray for that person's welfare, it is as if you have not even done the mitzvah at all of Bikul Cholim. It doesn't have to be in Hebrew, it can be in any language at all. When you visit the person, you say Hashem should have mercy, Hashem should get you better. Or on Shabbos you say Shabbos hi milizok urefuah krova lavo, Yom Tov hi milizok urefuah krova lavo. And that is all part of encompassing the mitzvah, and the Rambam writes in Hilchos Ovel Yudalad Lamed Dalad, the various purposes of Bikul Cholim. It gives a chizuk, it encourages and gives a cheerfulness to the sick person. As we just said, number two, it attends to the needs of the sick person. And then thirdly, to pray for the welfare of the sick person. There is another idea brought in the Farshim, and that is it's a kind of hisorus for teshuva, that the sick person should get some sort of tacit advice and encouragement that this is a way forward, to turn over a new leaf in life. And it's also, in fact, for the person who's visiting, a realization that we are all vulnerable and one must be doing teshuva for oneself. So according to a number of poskim, this mitzvah is a mitzvah min haTorah. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Alright, it doesn't say in the Torah specifically, thou shalt visit the sick. It does say, v'ahavta l'rechah kamocha, loving your neighbor like yourself. But the Bahag actually lists this mitzvah of Bikul Cholim as one of the 613 mitzvahs min haTorah. The Charedim is of the same view, the Yireim is of the same view, the Ramban, the Ritva. But there are others who say it's a mitzvah d'rabbanon, but that doesn't lessen its importance. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu visited Avraham Avinu, it's next week, Sedra Pashas Vayera, that he was recovering from his operation, and Hashem was visiting him. And just as Hashem visits the sick, we emulate Hashem's ways by doing the same thing ourselves. The mitzvah in Yerodeo Shin Lamed Hei, in practical terms, it's written that it applies to visiting both Jewish patients and non-Jewish patients. Tov Hashem Lakol V'racham Aval Kol Ma'asov, applies to all. And sadly, though, the Chofetz Chaim notes that this mitzvah is often neglected. In his Sefer Avas Chesed, he says that people are not as diligent in this mitzvah as they are in others. There's the story of the Chazon Ish who heard of a bocher who had a throat disease, and he immediately hailed a taxi and took him a jar of honey, and by doing so he aroused an awareness amongst others of the importance of doing Bikul Cholim. And so it wasn't just to visit this sick person, but to enable others to realize how it's important. And you can ask the question, why is this mitzvah so often ignored? There are some people, I mean, in fact I met somebody recently who I asked about a sick person who we both know, and I asked him, have you visited this person? He said, oh no, I'm not going to visit him. I said, well, what do you mean? Well, I'm worried I might bring him some germs. I said, have you been unwell? No, but I might bring in germs, and you know, a person who's not well, he's got a weakened immune system, and therefore, alright, there is a question here which we have to ask. You know, maybe if you think you have something contagious, maybe you should not. Maybe you are harming this person. But this person seems reasonably healthy, and as a principle he said, I'm not visiting because Chazal, surely they would have thought of that idea had they realized that there's a problem. People are worried they might catch germs. If the sick person has something contagious, we'll discuss that in a moment. Or the person might say, well, I'm not close enough to the fellow, or I don't want to bother him, he wants his peace. You can hear people saying all these kinds of excuses. And I do remember at my own mother's Leviah, Rabbi Cooper spoke about my mother saying, you know, when other people were saying they couldn't bother visiting people in hospital because their car was in for service, Mrs. Pick was waiting for buses and she visited somebody before everybody else. It's important to pick oneself up and have the energy and the tact and the awareness to do these things. The pasuk which many quote is referring to bikocholim, is referring to going. Achare Hashem Elokim Elokechem Teilechu is in Devarim Yud Gimel Hay, and some say that when Yisro talks about Es Haderech Yelchuvo Es Hamaseh Asher Yasun Haderech Yelchuvo Elu Bikocholim, it's referring to Bikocholim. So what is it that the Bikocholim is hinted at in these Pesukim which talk about going? Well, obviously you have to get up and go and visit the sick. It requires some movement and transportation of yourself in one form or another. But there is another idea, and that is this: that when you visit the sick person, you shouldn't really stay too long because it might be a bother for them. So you have to get up and go. And that is part of the mitzvah. It's not just to visit, but also to leave. Because there are some sick people, and when I was thinking about my mother's atzal, as she once said to me when she was very ill, she begged me to tell a certain person not to visit her. She just felt it was too much of a strain with this particular person. And so that had to be done, of course. So we've discussed the Mishnah, and it's a huge reward given, and there is an important amount of tact involved. When you visit a sick person, you're not going to speak to that person about other people's illnesses, and, oh, you know, this person he died, and that person he died. It doesn't exactly make the fellow feel very good. So you have to have a lot of tact. And it's these mitzvahs which require a lot of tact, which are the greater mitzvahs. Hence, we discussed Achanas Zochim recently as the way to deal with your guests. And it's the same when it comes to visiting people. And there's a story told about Rav Yaakov Onstein, who was visiting a hospital and saw a lonely person there and looked quite miserable, and he had a chess set standing next to him. So he went up to him and offered to play him a game of chess. And that in itself just took the sick person's mind away from his illness, so that was a big mitzvah in itself. There was a bocher who was visiting a sick person, and he was walking along the street with a plate of food, and he was a bit embarrassed about it when he saw the Rosh Hashiva approaching, Rav Sheol Slobodka. So he tried to hide the plate, and the Rosh Hashiva said to him, you don't have to hide it. What you're doing is a very big mitzvah. When you're bringing food for the sick person, it's like carrying a lulav and esrog in the street, and you shouldn't be embarrassed about it. So the idea is to tune into others, to understand their needs. The Chazon Ish, there's a story about the Chazon Ish who overheard a conversation between a boy and his father on Rosh Hashanah, where the boy was trying to encourage his father to eat and not endure such a long service because his father had a weak heart. And the father refused to eat. He said, I'm not eating before Tekiyat Shofar, Chas V'Shalom, and all this. So when the Chazon Ish overheard this, he announced that there will not be the usual break, the usual break before Tekiyat Shofar. They're going straight into it. And we're not going to say Lam Natseach, the Tehillim, which one says seven times. He says, we're cancelling it out this year. And all this was because that the person who had this weak heart could be able to eat earlier. There's another story told about Rabbi Akiva, who noticed that nobody was visiting a pupil of his. So he went round and he found that the floor was dirty and dusty and smelly, and he got out a broom and a brush, and he started scrubbing the floor. And it was just that alone which gave cheer and also better air quality to the patient, and he recovered. His pupil said he thinks his life was saved because Rabbi Akiva was cleaning the floor. So we spoke about the idea of the effect that you have on the poor on the sick person. That person simply might be suffering depression, and you're bringing that person out of it. So when you are chatting to that person, you could be saving their life. So it's not simply that you're doing a positive mitzvah. You may be, according to the Chofetz Chaim, fulfilling the mitzvah of Lo Samar Ol Dam Reecho. Don't stand by the blood of your neighbour. And similarly, if you're going to obtain the necessary medicine or recommending a good doctor, all this is part and parcel of lo samad or dam reyecho. And there are opinions, and in fact Rabbi Yehuda says this in the Gemara Brachos and Dalet, that the three people whom need to be guarded, shimur, apart from the chosan and kala, it's a sick person. It's best not to leave one alone. Alright, it's not always practicable and easy. And this isn't necessarily applying to somebody who's just got a slight flu or a cold. But people who are seriously ill, it's important to make sure their needs are attended to, and it's a good idea if possible to be that somebody is with them at all times. Another story of Rav Elo Lapion is well known, that he heard that there was a student of his who was refusing to take his medication. So he personally went round and spoke to the pupil and encouraged him and fed him the medicine himself. Lev Eliyahu talks about it. So all these are to do with tact and discretion, but what if you come to visit the sick person and you can see the fellow doesn't feel like talking? So you just sit with him a bit, or her a bit. It doesn't have to be speech. In fact, what if the patient is asleep? You're still doing the mitzvah. If the patient is sleeping, you come there and you tell the nurse or somebody else, give them my best wishes, tell them I came in. The mere fact that they knew that you were there to visit, it gives them a cheer, it raises their hopes, and therefore you're doing a mitzvah in such circumstances. The question is asked in the Poskim about a man visiting a woman and a woman visiting a man. There is absolutely no problem whatsoever. The mitzvah of Bikur Cholim can be done between opposite sexes. It's just that there are the usual criteria and caveats about tzinius and also about yichud. What is important is that one should never barge in to visiting any sick person, even if it's somebody of the same sex. You don't just barge straight in, and if possible, let's say when you're visiting a hospital, it's a good idea to tell the nurse, to tell the patient that so-and-so is here and you've come to visit them, and is it alright if you can come in? So that way the patient won't be embarrassed if you walk straight in and are not quite dressed the way they feel they should be dressed, and it gives them a chance to get themselves ready to enable them not to be embarrassed. An interesting question which comes up in quite a number of Shalat HaTshuvas is whether you can perform the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim by telephone. Nowadays, we don't seem to communicate any other way. But if... emails, texts...
Facebook.
And, I mean, if one can't visit personally, that is the best thing one could possibly do. Because remember, it's not just what we said about cheering up the patient, and you might do that best when you're face to face. We spoke about the other purposes of Bikur Cholim. We spoke about attending to their needs, to see if they need shopping done and that kind of thing, and then also to pray for them. And you might say, oh well, I can do all these things over the telephone. I can give chizuk over the phone. I can ask them over the phone if they need any shopping done. I can ask them on the phone anything else. I can daven for them. So what's wrong with doing it over the telephone? The question is addressed by Dayan Weiss of the Shalas Chuvas Minchas Yitzchok in Chelek Bei Simon Pei Dalad, and he says, well, although there may be some element of a mitzvah in doing a telephone, at least you should start off doing a personal visit. If you do something by a telephone, then maybe that can be with follow-ups. But initially, you should come round personally and visit the sick person. The Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, asks this question in Yeredeah Simon Reish Chaf Gimel, and he says the primary mitzvah is to actually go in person. But he doesn't discount the mitzvah completely when it's done by phone. He accepts that some, if not all, of the purposes of Bikur Cholim can be achieved by telephone. And especially if you're far away, it's not so easy. It's possible to do something by phone, but not ideal. The Rav Breish in the Chelkas Yaakov, he says that the Chazal's intention of Bikur Cholim was that you visit in person, and it was not that you do it by telephone, even though they didn't have telephones to discuss on the subject. Rav Yitzchok Huttner, though, is of the opposite view. He thinks that you can fulfill all three purposes of Bikur Cholim by telephone, namely to give chizuk, to attend to their needs, and to pray for them. Rav Steif questions whether a letter is okay. Well, that, in that respect, then an email. he goes into the longness of is kasiva kadibur, writing like speech. But in practical terms, it's not the same. The preference is to visit, to be able to do all these things. The Ramban says that the ikka mitzvah of bikkur chayim is to pray for them. But if that's the case, why can't I just daven for them in shul? In my bracha rafayinu, yirotam lefanecha, shetishlach meiru refuah shleima min hashamayim, refuah saguf, and then you name the sick person, v'soch sheichel Yisrael, and you include all the other sick people of Israel. If that's the case, why can't I just daven in shul? So there are a number of answers given to this. First of all, when you visit a sick person, the Shekhinah is there. The Shekhinah is hovering above the head of that person. So if you are going to daven in the presence of that sick person, the Shekhinah is there. It's a greater Eis Ratzon. It's a greater time for tefillahs to be heard and to be accepted and to be implemented. In any case, tefillah is not the main thing. Although the Ramban says you haven't done your mitzvah of bikkur cholim if you don't do tefillah, the main thing of bikkur cholim is that the cholet that sees you, the sick person, will know that you are there to give them chizuk, to cheer them up, and therefore you have to go in person. So what if you say, well, it's hard for me to visit a sick person, can I send a shliach? You know, I can marry a woman via shliach, why can't I visit a sick person via shliach? Well, the question is this: if the shliach also has a mitzvah of bikkur cholim, which the shliach has, then that shliach can't really be your shliach, because once that shliach goes to do bikkur cholim, it's his mitzvah, and then it's not your mitzvah. So where a shliach also has a duty, there's no such thing as shlichus. The other thing is, when it comes to davening, it's something Reb Moshe Feinstein says, it's she'yefsal asos aledei acherim. Since the other person has a mitzvah of tefillah as well as you, then you can't get somebody else to be a shliach to do the job for you. Alright, Hasidim ask the Rebbe to daven for them, and we ask Rebbe to daven for us, that's fine, but really, because tefillah has to come from you yourself, you cannot rely on the idea of shlichus in order to do bikkur cholim. On the other hand, there is, says the Chofetz Chaim, a very important idea that one should appoint in every kehillah a chevra to do bikkur cholim. So there should be in every shul, in every kehillah, a committee which sees to hachnasas aruchim, having guests. Unfortunately, we have chevra kedisha for levayos and so on. But he says there should also be a chevra kedisha, a chevra for the purpose of bikkur cholim. I understand from Henry there is such an arrangement in this kehillah. And there are, unfortunately, people in our kehillah who are sick and who are welcoming regular visits. And it's a very important thing that if not everybody is able to attend to it, then at least then the kehillah is sorting it out. And then you do get a kind of shlichus, where one person might be going on behalf of a few people. So if one person goes on behalf of 10 people, that's fine, but it's not as good as 10 people visiting. So Rav Yaakov Treiber writes in Avnei Yaakov, if you've got 10 people represented by one, you've got one person visiting. But if you've got 10 people visiting, all the better.
What about taking away a 40th?
Yes, a 60th. Chazal tell us that when you visit a sick person, you are taking away a 60th. It doesn't actually use the wording, you're taking away a 60th of the illness. It's the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. You're taking away a 60th of their tsar. But that doesn't mean that 60 people will remove the illness completely, because each 60th is then a proportion less. But yes, there is such a thing written. You are taking away some of the illness, and I think that can be said not only in spiritual terms, but in physical terms as well.
Can I ask the question? I read somewhere that you can only take away the 60th if you were born on the same day as the person.
On the same constellation. There is something about...
Yeah. And there's one other thing, I read it in the Mamlos, that after Avram died, the thing he had around him went up, the sun. So it's better to visit someone in the morning, because the thing Avram had was in the sun, and it shines down and brings a refuah to the person.
There is something written about not visiting the first 3 hours of the day, or the last 3 hours of the day, because the chole is not quite ready in the morning, and is tired and weak in the evening.
Yeah.
But other poskim say that this is simply advice as to what might be a good idea, and it's not firm halacha, and especially if there are visiting times in the hospital and so on, and one has to use tact and discretion to decide what is in the best interests of the patient.
You mentioned that it's a better instruction to daven for the chole in the chole's presence.
Yes.
There's a slight awkwardness in that, and it can also be very alarming for the chole.
But don't you do it loud.
I just want to be
mispalo for you. You don't say it that way to the chole. You just say Hashem should give you good health, and Hashem should get you better soon amongst all the other sick people, and we'll see you back in shul. That's a good wish. It's also a tefillah. It doesn't then make the sick person feel as though he's a nebuch. But also, when you are in the presence of the sick person, when you're leaving, you can mumble some words of tefillah quietly, and you wish them all the very best, especially if there are other people there, it's easier. But then you are doing tefillah in the presence of the sick person. Or alternatively, one can go into the next room and say some extra tefillahs if it seems appropriate to do so. But again, tact and discretion is all part of it. But yes, you don't sit in front of a sick person and start reading out the vidoy on their behalf aloud when they understand what you're talking about.
Is there any difference between whether the patient, the cholera is recovering, critical, or terminal?
There are differences, you're right. You don't want to do anything which makes the sick person feel they're really in a bad state.
Yeah.
Your purpose of your visit is to enhance them and to give them a cheer rather than to make them feel more depressed. But they know they're not well, even if they don't know how serious or whatever it is that they are, and you will give them words of encouragement which are also words of tefillah.
Yeah, yeah.
And on a Shabbos or Yom Tov, you can say to them, Shabbos Yimilizek Rufruk Rova Lavo. It doesn't give them a depression if you say such words. And that Hashem should make you well soon. You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Because warfare, I know someone who is very upset to go to certain holding.
Yes.
Yeah. Usually terminally ill or critically.
Well, again, it's tact of discretion. If one feels that one's prayer might upset the choleh, then one won't say it loud, one will say it quietly.
But the visitor, it comes back soul destroyed.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, look, that's happened to me not long ago, where I come away from visiting somebody who's sick, and one feels in a very upset state, yes, but that can encourage one to daven more, and that's the best one can do in the circumstances, and to offer one's help if there's anything that can be done. But
anything about the resources,
we don't actually look in the halacha at your state of mind. If a person says, I haven't got the mental capacity, or I can't bear to see a person in that state, if that's the person's honest feeling and that the person feels will give them some form of dispensation, I haven't seen anything written on that to say that will excuse you from going because you can't bear the sight of seeing a person in that state. But if you genuinely feel that you are unable to give cheer to that person, then you can do other things. You can then resort to the telephone. You can phone up a close relative and say, is there anything I can do? And do whatever else you can. But don't say to the sick person, I'm sorry I have to go, I can't bear seeing you in that state. I don't think it will have the desired effect. Bikkur. It happens. It is amazing how tactless sometimes people might be, and it's a good idea to think in advance about what one might be saying.
In Israel, I know someone that
yes.
The chole called his friend and he complained, why don't you visit me? You live only 2 blocks away. And he said, when you recover, I'll visit you.
When you recover, well.
And guess what?
There's the famous Jackie Mason. Now it's too late. There is a. The Rav Chai Gon writes in the She'iltos that it's best if you can take somebody with you when you visit the sick. And I'm wondering whether that might be a good reason, so that if one person starts saying something tactless, the other person can kick him in his leg and stop him from saying what he's saying. But he doesn't give that as a reason. He says it's best to take somebody with you. And the Rogatchev says, we learn this out from Yosef. When he goes to visit his father, it says he took Menashe and Ephraim with him. Rav Mordechai Burnett writes that the reason why it's a good idea to have two people visiting instead of one is because two praying is better than one. Even though you don't have a minyan of 10 people, which is even better, when you have two people davening instead of one, it's already called tefillah barabim, that two people are praying instead of one. However, the Shutz Minchas Chaim says that this is good advice. It's not the halacha. If you've got nobody to go with you, you still go. You still visit. Don't say, I've got nobody to go with and therefore I'm not going. So that's simply good advice. what about a Yoledes, a woman who's just given birth? Certainly in Hilchas Shabbos, she's got the category of a sick person. In the first 3 days, certainly, you can do malacha. In fact, the first 7 days, if she asks for it, one can do malacha. For a woman who's given birth, she's treated as a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Even though her life is not really in danger, we attend to all her needs in the sense that we can break Shabbos. So, in that respect, yes, there is a mitzvah of bikur cholim, but there's an interesting Shevet Halevi who writes in Chelek Hei Kuf Pei Dalad. He says there are some people, they do very long social visits to a new mother. He says that's not any mitzvah. In any case, it's probably a strain for her. She's tired, she's weak, and she wants to have a rest. But you get these relations who come along to see the new baby. Oh, doesn't he look like Zaidi, and doesn't she look like that? Anyway, that's not a mitzvah, he says, to do these long visits. But a short visit, he said, is a mitzvah. What if you have a choice between visiting a rich person and a poor person? The halachas talk about that. You should give priority to visiting the poor person who's likely to have less visitors. And even if the rich person is a Talmid Chochom, then there are those who say you should still visit the poor person first. Alright, the Talmid Chochom is not getting any visitors, you have to visit him. But it's an interesting contrast. Now, if you know for sure that it's difficult for the sick person to accept visitors. Let's say they've got some gastric illness where they have to keep running out to the toilet the whole time. So it's embarrassing for them to have visitors. Then it's better not to visit at all. And therefore, if it's hard for the chola to speak, if it's hard because he's got frequent tummy upsets, or if the chola is embarrassed to receive, if you get message that this chola is embarrassed to receive patients, he or she doesn't want people to see what they look like, then you stay away. Or what you do is you just stand outside. You can inquire about their welfare, and you can say to a nurse in the hospital, please tell so-and-so that I've been here to visit, but I understand it's not so practical at the moment. And that in itself is a mitzvah. It's a good idea that such a thing is done. Now, we asked before about contagious diseases. Certainly, you might rely on a doctor's opinion, or you might rely on common sense. If you know that this person whom you're visiting has a very contagious disease, like, I don't know, swine flu or something, then, well, it's better not to visit, surely. If there is a danger, says the Stei Chemed in Chelek Aleph Ayin Vav, one stays away. Ah, you might argue, can the merit of the mitzvah bikur cholim protect me? Since I'm doing a mitzvah, then I shouldn't come to any harm. And Shema Pasoim Hashem, Hashem preserves the simple. The Ramo discusses this in his Shalos of Tshuva, Simon Yud Tes. It's not so straightforward. You don't just say, oh, by keeping the mitzvah, I'll be all right. If the person is heavily contagious, it's not something which is a good idea. The Shevet Halevi discusses this in Chelek Ches, Reishon and Aleph, and he quotes a Professor Steinberg, who says that nowadays a simple visit doesn't normally result in someone catching something. Nowadays you're going to a hospital, they've got this sanitizing liquid which you rub all over your hands before you go in, and you might stand at a distance. You know, I don't think that in itself is a reason not to visit at all, because there's a chashash you might catch something which is like the flu or something. However, the Tzitz Eliezer writes in Tes Yud Zayin that somebody who visits someone with a contagious disease is called a chosid shoteh. He's a righteous fool. And therefore, don't put yourself at risk if there is a genuine risk. Certainly if there's a plague, some magefa, which is highly contagious, one does not put oneself in danger. And Rav Karolitz and Rav Kanievsky explicitly forbade visitors to go along if it's something which is very contagious. Well, what if I'm the one who's been contagious? What if I've been ill? If I've been unwell, certainly I'm not going to do a sick person any favours by bringing germs along to his house or to his hospital if I'm still carrying some bug with me. The person might have a weakened immune system because they're sick, and you're not doing any favours, and common sense has to prevail. Now, what about a Kohen I can see at least one Kohen sitting at our table. Oh, we got two or three, yes. A Kohen, what about a Kohen visiting someone in hospital? Because the risk is that when a Kohen goes into a hospital, there may be a mace inside the hospital, and the Kohen, if he knowingly goes into the hospital where there is a mace, one should not go in at all. The Sefer Bnei Baruch says one should try and inquire beforehand. Sometimes there are different sections of the hospital with different roofs, and therefore it might not be so problematic. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he forbids a Kohen to do a hospital visit, even if there's only a mere possibility that there is a Tumas Mace in the hospital, a Nigris Moshe.
Even person's relationships or a close friend?
You see, it's like this. What if this person is such a sick person that you would be prepared to break Shabbos for them? A chole sheish b'sakona. So in those circumstances, when it's a chole sheish b'sakona, a Kohen will go in, especially if it's a close relative, and will visit. Because it's like breaking Shabbos for the welfare of the sick person. So that is the balance to be struck. I mean, there are questions about whether if a doctor is a Kohen, what he can do and what he can't do. Pesachei Tshuva discusses this in Yeridea and Shinai. Yes? I haven't seen a distinction being drawn between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz and Yehudi or Nochri. I haven't seen a distinction given about this in the various forum which discuss the subject. Look, a Kohen can't even walk along Hoop Lane because you've got trees going over it from... That's true. If one knowingly goes into a place where there might be a mace, irrespective of Yehudi or Nochri, the Kohen avoids it. Maybe they're leniences, but I haven't. You've come across it, have you?
Yes.
Right. Fine. Kohanim, please take note. Right. The Sefer Shulchan Shlomo on the Dinner of Refuah in the section of Bikkuch Olim talks about a woman who is a wife of a Kohen. Should not really do any hospital visits. If she's about to give birth, if she's advanced in her ninth month, then she will not even visit, because if the baby is suddenly born, and that baby will, if it's practically possible, that baby who is a Kohen should not be in contact with the Tomei Mace. I can't hear, sorry.
Will
be born in a hospital. Well, you can't do anything about that, and they need the attention. And just like we said with a chole sheish b'sakona, you'll break Shabbos. It's the same idea. There are times where it's like an emergency. The baby needs attention, the mother needs attention. But if a woman is not in the stage of giving birth, but is very advanced in her ninth month, then she's better off staying out of the building.
Which is good argument, because the
Kohanim should have
preference
to give birth
at home, a wife of a Kohanim.
We don't find any Rabbonim who advise Eishes Kohanim to give birth at home. No, it doesn't go that
way.
If there are chas v'shalom complications, I mean, there are people who do give birth at home. I know, my daughter gave birth in a car. But it wasn't planned that way. And if there are chas v'shalom complications, it's good to have the expert staff nearby.
My son knows which hospitals in Yerushalayim where the maternity units are just separate buildings.
Right.
So why does he need to go? Obviously his wife would book in when she's pregnant.
Yes.
But also, if for whatever reason she goes into labour early, and then they have to take her to the nearest hospital. So not just where had all the maternity, but also if it was on Shabbos, she has to go early, have to know where it is.
That's an interesting point.
I don't know which hospitals are better than the others. There are one or two, but I can't tell you which ones, that have put up a notice outside.
Yes.
The place.
Yes.
So therefore, he has over the years worked out Which hospital? Can I visit?
Right. Oh, thanks, David. So what David is saying is that there are many Israeli hospitals which have separate buildings for their maternity units, and they put up notices outside for the information of Karnim, which is all very useful, but we don't benefit from such luxuries at the Royal Free in Hampstead. Okay.
In London, Rabbi Ben uses the Whittington in Highgate.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
what, you mean for his wife to give birth?
Yeah.
I see. The Whittington in Highgate.
Separate building.
Very useful information. Okay. What is the limit? Is there, we say in the Mishnah, there's no limit to Bikur Cholim, even if it's 100 times a day. That is something which has no shear. However, as long as you're not a bother, this is the important caveat, you mustn't be a bother to the sick person and start talking and talking, thinking you're doing a wonderful mitzvah, and they're finding it a strain. And we spoke before about always being brief. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Ovel in Yud Dalet Vov, Umabakesh Olav Rachamim, and one davens for the sick person, V'yotze. Now this is a very interesting expression which the Rambam makes when you visit the sick person, V'yotze, and you leave. Well, obviously, when you visit a sick person, at some time in the proceedings you're going to leave. You're not going to stay there the whole night. The hospital won't let you. But he uses the word v'yotze. Make a point of going when you feel that it's necessary to do so, because your visit should be short and sweet. So that v'yotze many interpret as part and parcel of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Just like we say, Baruch Atah B'Vavecha, Baruch Atah B'Tzeisecha. You're blessed when you come, and you're also blessed when you go. So Rav Chaim of Brisk said that even if you visit the sick person many times during the day, each time should be short. And that's why when the Gemara says, he says, Besaderech Yelchuvo, and that's learnt out for Bikur Cholim. What does it mean, Yelchuvo? He says, Bikur Cholim, it means Yelchu, it's time to go. Realize that you come along, you do a short visit, but that you have to leave. There are some poskim who say, well, close relations visit straight away, and others don't visit immediately or might wait 3 days. But that's simply advice, and if you know of somebody who's in hospital, you just simply don't barge in and give a surprise. Rav Chaim Zonnenfeld writes in Shlomas Chaim, he said you should only visit the hospital at official visiting times. It seems to be a Yiddish crank that people try and smuggle into the hospital before 2 p.m. or after 8 p.m. They couldn't get a parking space before, and the parking's cheaper afterwards. He says that you will be disturbing the other patients in the hospital. Even if the patient you're visiting will welcome you, now, that is not a good idea to visit outside the hours. Well, there's another interesting question is, what if you're not on good terms with this sick person? Oh, well, I don't get on with him very well. Oh, he's broigus with me, and therefore I'm not going to visit him. What's the din there? The Shachin Yeredeo discusses this in Shin Lamed Hei, and he thinks you should try and ask beforehand if you can visit, to sound out. And if you find that you're not welcome, and Rav Hirsch discusses this in Chorev, in page 432, it's important to visit strangers as well. I know it's difficult now under the Data Protection Act, because there were chevras going round the hospitals to find out who's in, and they don't give names away. The Chazon Ish once heard that there was a stranger in the hospital whom his doctor was attending to him and attending to this stranger, and he made a point of visiting. The Rav Ari Levine went round the hospitals every Friday, and he asked the nurses which patients were not getting visitors, and there were patients whom he visited, and he visited a wounded soldier, and this soldier said to him, Rabbi, where do I know you from? Where do you know me from? And Rav Ari Levine said, we met each other at Mount Sinai. And the story is told of Rabbi Akiva Ego, who stayed with the patient the entire night because he felt that his attendance was necessary. It's also written in the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim Reish Samach Beis, that when you are visiting a patient, you should dress decently, because you're not only visiting the patient, but you are visiting the Shekhinah, the divine presence of Hashem. On the subject of davening, we said without Bakoshas Rachamim there is no mitzvah. That's the Ramban, and the Ramah brings this down. A man asked Rav Baruch Meir Leibovitz to pray for his wife's recovery, and 10 years later Rav Baruch Meir met this man and asked how his wife was. He had been praying for his wife every day for the following 10 years to ask how she was. What if one feels incapable of praying? If one says, I just cannot manage to daven, then it's written that one should not even bother visiting at all. So says Rav Yaakov of Chanana, who was a pupil of the Rashba, because it's like being a hypocrite. If you feel you cannot pray for this person, then don't visit. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach addresses the problem we were talking about before, about making the chola feel bad if you're davening, and he says it's better to daven in the adjacent room. It's regarded as an eis rotzon, and that's why it's good that prayer is heard then. And hence there's also the idea of saying the Misha Berach over a Sefer Torah for a sick person, because when the Sefer Torah is open, or on the desk anyway, on the bima, then that is called an eis rotzon. And the Nemuk HaYofsa says that this practice of Misha Berach HaShul comes from the need that you should ask the Rav to daven for a sick person. And so the Aruch HaShulchan says it evokes mercy when the Sefer Torah is open. One should never give up hope. When a person is sick, whenever there's life, there is hope. And davening always helps. And if a person is suffering a terminal illness and is so bad and they are suffering, the Shaila has been asked, am I allowed to daven for them to die? It's a practical question. Look, you know, they will be relieved of their pain. The halacha is, in no way is one allowed to make such a prayer at all. One may not pray for someone to die. One can pray for their suffering to be alleviated. One can ask for their suffering to be reduced. One can even go as far as saying that Tzitz Eliezer writes in his Ramat Rachel, which is a huge volume all about sickness issues, and he says the most you can do is you can say to Hashem, please do whatever is best for this patient, which might be a hint if you feel that the person is suffering so much. But to ask for somebody to die is absolutely out of the question. I once visited a certain Rebbe whose help I wanted to garner in getting somebody to give a get to an aguna. He left his wife and refused to give her a get, and I asked this Rebbe what help he could do, and this Rebbe took it as a hint from me, although I never intended it that way, that he should pray for that person's death, because if a get's not going to be given, the only way to release this woman would be by knocking this fellow off. And the Rebbe said to me, sorry, there's one thing I will never ever do. I will never ever daven for somebody to die. We can daven that this person gives his wife a get, but we do not ever daven for somebody's death. In fact, if a person does daven for somebody else's death, it can rebound on oneself. Anyway, we've discussed at the end of the topic on Hachnosos Arachim that every single mitzvah in the Torah is based upon communication. Communication between a person and God, and communication between a person and another person. Just think, go through every single mitzvah. If you're wearing tzitzis, tefillin with Hashem. If you're doing the main mitzvahs, so we spoke about the tact and discretion you need when you have guests. We once discussed rebuking another person, which also requires a lot of tact and discretion. It's all about communication. Bikkur Cholim is regarded as one of the greatest mitzvahs. Why? Because communication is the essence. How you do it, when you do it, where you do it. And that's why Chazal say that a person who does Bikkur Cholim is saved from Gehinnom. You don't get this written in other mitzvahs like you get it written with Bikkur Cholim. To be saved from hell, you are doing yourself a big favor by visiting a sick person. And why is it such a great mitzvah? Because it has to be done in a special way, with feeling, with emotion, to tune into another person. And I'll tell you just about one more personal experience that I once had quite a few years ago when I was in yeshiva. I had some eye trouble. And I went from one doctor to another, and I couldn't find any solution to the fact that whenever I was reading, there was pain in my eyes. Anyway, the 18th doctor I got to, who was Dr. Adler, senior Zichron Lebrocha, he knew what the problem was. He said to me that I was rubbing my hair while I was learning, and dandruff was falling in my eyes. That was his... it was amazing, absolutely amazing. I had been to the top specialists. I went to a top professor who had an award from the Queen for curing African children from blindness, and he couldn't diagnose what was wrong with me. So a year after the event, I made a celebration in yeshiva one Friday night, and there my Rebbe Rav Shimon Weiser came along, and he gave a Dvar Torah, and he said something fascinating, something which pierced me very, very much. And he said, when you're rejoicing with somebody else, you're not just going along to this kiddush or celebration or party simply because you've been invited and you're sharing with them their joy. You're not then having the right intention in your mind. The right kavana you should have when you go along to a celebration is you should imagine as though it's happened to you. You should imagine as though that eye trouble which I had, you have had, and that you are thanking Hashem for recovering. And only then will you be going in the right frame of mind to such an event. And Nebuch, when it comes to a shiva, and one goes to do Nichum Avelim, the correct frame of mind isn't just to go along and show your sympathy. It's not just to show your empathy. You should feel as though that sad loss has happened to yourself. And only then you will go into the shiva with the right frame of mind to be able to do the mitzvah properly. Oh, very good. That's part of after Reach Komocha. Komocha, like yourself, as though it has been happening to yourself. Shkoyach. That's the interpretation of that pasuk. You're quite right. And only then can one do that. And so when you go and visit a sick person, imagine as though this tsar is happening to you. That doesn't mean you go limping in with bleary eyes and talking about your own pains and aches. But it means that you will be therefore able to show the empathy and care and attention to the sick person, because then you will have an appreciation as to how they are suffering. And with that, may we all be zoche to be doing this mitzvah. Unfortunately, there are cholim in our community. To do the mitzvah properly and with such visits, it will reduce their suffering, will reduce their illness, that they should all have refuah shleima, pasuk shechalei Yisrael, amen, ken yirasa.